looking at verses 3 through 6 today. Our, the whole section from verse 3 to verse 14 I've entitled, Too Blessed to Be Stressed. As we look at our spiritual blessings because of Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, as we go through the book of Ephesians, remember the title of the book, The Wealth and the Walk of the Christian. And last week we began to look at what it means to be a saint of God. And today we want to see the blessings we have as Christians because we belong to Christ, beginning in verse 3. Now the Holy Trinity is in verses 3 through 14. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit are all involved in our salvation. It deals with salvation past, salvation present, and salvation future. The blessings from the Father, which we're going to look at today, are in verses 3 through 6. The blessings that we're going to see next week, or the week after homecoming, is the blessings from the Son. That's in verses 7 through 12. And then we'll see the blessings from the Holy Spirit, verses 13 and 14. Then we'll go on in deeper into the book of Ephesians. Tonight, we invite you back. We're looking at the faithful minister in the kingdom. Faithful kingdom ministry as we're looking at Mark chapter 6. But this morning, we look at the blessings we have from the Father in verses 3 through 6, and there are five of them. So let's stand, if you can, in honor of God's word, and let's begin reading in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. By the way, verses 3 through 14 is one long paragraph in the Greek. According to have chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. To many people, these verses are controversial. They're not controversial to me. It's just our lack of understanding toward them. So today we're going to look at our blessings that come from God the Father. Let's pray. Father, I pray you open our eyes. I pray you give us spiritual understanding. I pray we might understand the depth of the knowledge that's in these three verses. And I pray, Father, that we might appropriate them in our daily walk and our daily life. No matter how world it gets, no matter how bad it gets for us, no matter what people do to us, we are too blessed to be stressed. And I pray that this next 3 weeks or 4 weeks, as we look at these verses through verse 14, that we'll think about how much blessings we have in Christ. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus, and God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Blessing number one, verse 3. Well, we are blessed. That's a blessing. Look again in verse 3, if you will. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, this is a statement of his deity. Who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. People, I run across people sometimes and says, have you got the second blessing? I say, well, I read Ephesians chapter 1, 3 through 14. I got many blessings right here in the book of Ephesians. So we're going to look at the first one. We are blessed. All spiritual blessings in heavenly places. There's not a blessing here in this text that there is not one believer that is minus one of these blessings. Because these are blessings from God the Father. These have to do with our position in Christ, okay? And not our practice and not our walk. These come from God the Father. Now, spiritual does not mean the opposite of physical, but the blessings given to us by the Holy Spirit. Heavenly places means they exist in heaven. They are spirit-produced. They come from heaven because they are in Christ, and that spiritual union that we have in Christ. These are blessings we have because we are saved, because we are in a spiritual union with the Lord Jesus Christ. We are in union with him. We've been immersed into his death. He's immersed us into the body of Christ. These are in Christ. Do you realize that Christians live in two worlds? We live in the heavenlies and we live on the earthly, right? The visible and the invisible. Our position is in heaven while our practice is here on earth. Amen? We walk around and sometimes we don't act like saints and we don't act like we ought to act. But in the eyes of God, by position, we are in the heavenlies. Amen? That's our position in Jesus Christ. Never forget that. As you go through this life with all that happens to you, never forget No matter how bad it gets down here, your citizenship is in heaven. We are citizens in heaven, someone said. Our names are written in heaven in the Lamb's Book of Life. Our Father and our Lord is in heaven. Our affections are in heaven, or they should be, if we're saved. And Jesus is seated in the heaven, and we're seated with him in the heavenlies already in chapter 2, verse 6. So we are blessed. That's the first blessing we have from the Father. Now the second blessing we have from the Father is that we are chosen, verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love. He hath chosen us in him. Now I want you to hang on. We've taught these great truths before, and I won't try to go in depth about rehashing them. I'm just going to take it at face value. Remember, always interpret Scripture at its face value. If it doesn't say this, then what does it say? Right? So always do that. Now let's look at this. We are chosen. Salvation begins with God, and the means is believing in his Son. We never can separate the sovereignty of God and salvation, but also human free will. God chose us in him before the foundation of the world, yet we have a human responsibility to hear the gospel and to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The sovereignty of God never negates human responsibility. Amen? We are called to do that. We proclaim the message, but it is God who saves. The Bible says in John 15, verse 16, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit shall remain, that whatever you shall ask of the Father in my name, it shall be given unto you. So God chose us in Christ and not ourselves. It was from his own will and for himself. Not our human merit. We didn't initiate salvation. There's not a person in this building today that was seeking after God except for the fact that he was seeking after you. Amen? It begins. You have an old dead heart. You don't love God. You don't love the things of God until he intervened in our lives. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel, there it is, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice this. Read a little further in verse 4. Before the foundation of the world. What do we do with that? Remember, we studied the doctrine of creation in Genesis chapter 1. Day 1 began God, in the beginning, God created, in the beginning, what? In the beginning of day 1, God created the heavens and the earth. Before the foundation of the world. Some believe that God chose persons for salvation based on looking into the future and seeing those who would believe, and he called these. Others believe God set his love and mercy on the elect in the eternity past, based on his will and purposes. And whichever you believe, the end result is the same thing. It does not negate evangelism. Whatever view you take, you still are one of the elect. Amen? Or you wouldn't be sitting here today. So here's the question. On what basis of God's choice for us did he choose us before he ever created on day one? What basis was it? Well, it's not our human merit. It's not our works. We weren't even born yet, right? It's based on his good pleasure of his will. In verse 5, look at that. The Bible says, according to the good pleasure of his will. It's based on his love and mercy. Go over to chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, if you will. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, he hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. And then it's by his glory, verse 6. He has raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Go back to chapter 1, verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Before the foundation of the world, God chose us and God saved us based on his mercy and his grace and his love, and not in any human merit or worth that we had in us. We did not deserve to be saved, but God showed his mercy and his grace on us. Why? Well, the Bible, verse 3 here says that we should be holy without blame before him in love. God chose us to make us holy. He chose us to make us conform to the image of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God didn't save you to sit and fill up a pew. God saved you to make you into the image of his son. Can I get an amen? Amen. Right? Romans 8, 28 through 9, 29, 30. God wants to conform us into the image of his son. Man, I know too many people. They walk an aisle, they get baptized, they come to church occasionally, and they know nothing about the fact of why God saved them. Amen? He didn't save you just to keep you out of hell and just to take you to heaven. He saved you to make you like his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. God chose us to be holy. And I gotta bust your bubble or burst your bubble right here. Perfection can't be reached in this life. Amen? It can't be reached in this life. He has taken us to heaven solely by our position in Christ and not our practice. You see the difference, right? Our position, we're in Christ. Our practice is we're being sanctified and being made more like Jesus Christ. He wants to conform us to the image of his son. Our practice does not always match our position. But these are blessings from the Father. Y'all look like a calf looking at a new gate this morning. I've taught you all these truths, okay? All right? You know how a calf looks at a new gate? It goes like this, right? So cock your head the other way, right? All right? So we are blessed, right? Verse 3. What's the second blessing we have? Well, not only are we blessed, we're chosen. But look in verse 5. We are predestined. Boy, that's a big word. Well, that scares some people. It doesn't scare me, because look at it. Look in verse 4. According as he have chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. What? Having predestined us. Having there, that verb there means having. Well, he's got a purpose for choosing us and making us holy. What? Having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. So we are predestined, having predestined us. Now, election deals with people and God's forming of the church in eternity past, but predestination deals with the purpose of election. God has predestined us to something, and we're going to see what that is in just a moment here. Now, God does not predestine some to heaven and some to hell, as some people believe. God, in his good pleasure, his love, his glory, and his love saved us. Predestinated or predestined means to mark out, to appoint, or to determine beforehand. What did he do that for us for? Look in verse 5. That takes us to the fourth blessing. Because we are adopted. Look in verse 5, if you will, of our text. He says, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Now, I know that there's no way that you're going to grasp all these great truths here this morning in 30 minutes. I know that's not possible. I spent years of study on this issue, and I still can't fathom the depth of God's love that saved me. But he has predestined us to be adopted into his family, unto the adoption of children to himself according to his good pleasure and his will. That's what he had predestined us to. Adoption is in the present. It's an act of God in giving the believing sinner, adult status in the family of God. When you were regenerated, you are in the member of God's family. You were born again. That's how we are children of God. You've been born again. But when you get born again, God gives you adult status. That's what the word means, in the family of God. You have all the blessings that you're going to get. You've got all these blessings right here in verses 3 through 6 when you were born again. Amen? These are not something you have to work your way into. These are something he gave you at the moment of salvation. Okay? And everyone has them who is saved. Everybody has these privileges and these blessings here. There are none that you don't have to work your way to earn some of these blessings. We're talking about things that are given to us by God the Father, with all the privileges and blessings of adulthood in his family. In other words, what am I saying? What does theology say? Theology says you're a child of God, okay? Then you grow. But he's adopted you into the family of God and given you adult status. When you get 60 years old, you're not going to get anything more than the guy that just got saved at 30 years old. Everybody, are y'all following me? These are things that are given to us at salvation. Okay? Understand that? Now, we don't think that way. We think, well, we deserve more because we've been serving God longer. We're talking about things that you are given at the moment of salvation. We are blessed. We are chosen. We are predestined. We are adopted. So that's what adoption is talking about. But there's an adoption in the future that the Bible speaks about. In Romans chapter 8, it's talking about the future redemption of the body. Not only of our spirit and our soul, but there's an adoption coming at the resurrection when Christ comes. In Romans chapter 8, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also. We have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan in ourselves, waiting for what? The adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body, that we're going to be looking at in chapter 1, verses 13 through 14 in a few weeks. Yeah, are we on the same page? I know this is some deep stuff, and there's no way, I mean, I don't want to discredit it and bring it down and compromise it, but folks, you've been adopted in the family of God. Just like if you were adopt a child, they have the same adult standing of any child you have in your home. Amen? Right? And that's the way it is right here. So we are adopted, but then we are accepted. And I love this verse 6. We are accepted. Notice what it says. To the praise and the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us. He hath made us accepted in the beloved. He hath made us accepted in the beloved. The beloved is another name for Jesus Christ. He is the beloved. Remember, three times the Father said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And we are beloved because we're in the beloved, right? We are not acceptable. Before we got saved, we were not acceptable. You can't wash yourself up and approach God and be approved by God by your own flesh that comes after Adam. There has to be a work in your heart. And he hath made us accepted in Christ the beloved. I like what John MacArthur says here, and he says it best. Accepted, in fact, I'm going to read this twice, it's so good. Accepted refers to the divine, you know, by the way, let me say this. People say, I accepted Christ, but in reality, God accepted you. Amen? We're just looking at it from the human perspective. Accepted refers to divine grace that has made it possible for sinners to be accepted by God through the substitutionary death and imputed righteousness provided by Christ Jesus. You see, when he died for our sins and we believed in him, he took our sins. God, when we by faith believe in him, imputes or transfers his righteousness to us that we can come into his presence. Amen? That's stomping ground, even for a Methodist, for a Baptist, even for a Presbyterian. Amen? That we are accepted in the beloved. Let me read that again. Accepted refers to the divine grace that has made it possible for sinners to be accepted by God. And what's another big word the Bible uses? The propitiatory. Propitiation of Christ's death, all right? He says, refers to the divine grace that has made it possible for sinners to be accepted by God through the substitutionary death and imputed righteousness provided by Jesus Christ. Because the believers are accepted in him, then they, like him, are beloved of God. Do you understand that today? God could not love you except for the sake of Christ. Amen? God could not love you except what he did for you on the cross. Amen? Because there's nothing lovely in us. We can't even love each other. Amen? But we're accepted in the beloved. Amen. When I think about these truths, man, I'm telling you, I take my eyes off myself and I give him all the praise and the glory. Amen? For what he's done for us. Because we are accepted, we are also accepted. Because he's the beloved, and we are the beloved because we have received him as our Lord and Savior, and we're saved. So what are the blessings we have from the Father? Again, these are not things that you've got to work your way to get to. These happen to you at the moment of salvation from the Father. Now, next week we'll talk about the Son. What did the Son do for us? And then we'll talk about what the Spirit did for us. All these are spiritual blessings. And everybody here is saved, has all the blessings in verses 3 through 14. There's not one that you're lacking, right? You have full standing in the kingdom of God. Amen? Martin Luther, John Knox, Billy Graham. When I get to heaven, I'm going to be in the same standing with them, right? Because these are spiritual blessings. Amen? That are given to y'all. Understand that now. My reward not be quite as great as theirs. In fact, it won't be. but I'm an adult son in the kingdom of God. Amen? Oh, I wish I could explain that better, but I can't in my human mind, especially when Miss Inez tried to fall in my arms this morning. I'm not thinking right. She was coming out of Sunday school, and she tripped coming down them steps, and I like to call her right there. Her life would have never been the same if she had fell in my arms. I wish I could explain this better. But folks, remember this. Remember this. Now, verses 3 through 14, you have, okay, right now, from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So we are blessed, we are chosen, we are predestined, we are adopted, and we're accepted. And that's why we are too blessed to be stressed. Amen? Next week we'll look at the blessing from the second person of the Trinity, our Lord Jesus Christ, okay? All heads bowed, all eyes closed. Father, as our musicians come, maybe there's one here today, Lord, that they haven't fully understand. They just thought salvation was walking out, being baptized, and coming to church when you want to. And they don't have no concept of all the blessings that we have that God the Father has given us, Lord. I pray you continue to preach this message in their hearts.